Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. As we witness the horrors and tragedies unfolding in the diplomatic, military, and humanitarian crises in Afghanistan, it's worth reflecting on the probable causes of this disaster and what it bodes for the future of our country and the world. To put it bluntly, we're in a world of hurt, and this is a time of grave danger for our nation and civilization, though many millions of Americans remain oblivious to this danger. But a more immediate concern are the fate of thousands of Americans and other foreign nationals still trapped inside that war-torn country, as well as the close to 100,000 Afghans who have worked with and supported the U.S. and other Western nations with a presence there in recent years. Let me give you my take on what's going on here as the U.S. and other nations scramble to evacuate people facing mortal danger in Afghanistan and bring some measure of political stability there. As I watched President Joe Biden at his news conference the other day from Washington, it appeared that Biden, as usual, was reading from a prepared script and taking pre-screened questions only from those reporters representing friendly and obedient left-wing news organizations. I saw a Biden trying to save face following the firestorm of criticism of his causing and handling of this debacle. And he was trying to give the impression that things were not so bad as news reports from Afghanistan were indicating, and that a more orderly and relatively peaceful withdrawal of foreigners and Afghans wishing to escape Kabul and other parts of the country was firmly underway. But if you believe, as I and tens of millions of other Americans do, that Biden was installed as president after being elected illegitimately by a large-scale and well-coordinated conspiracy involving a cabal of oligarchs aligned with communist China, where many ultra-rich and powerful business people and corporations have trillions of dollars in lucrative investments, then it's difficult not to believe that Biden is essentially a puppet and bootlick for these people, and that what's happening in Afghanistan has been more by design than happenstance. It's likely that Russia and communist China, whose countries border Afghanistan, have provided support for the Taliban in one way or another, and China is allied with neighboring Pakistan, whose intelligence services are reportedly closely involved with and supporting the Taliban. Although the U.S. and other Western countries have temporarily frozen billions of dollars held for the former Afghan government and foreign aid payments, the Taliban have for many years funded their operations through drug trafficking, primarily control of Afghans' opium trade, and other endeavors such as kidnapping, extortion, and timber trafficking. Now they can also sell off billions of dollars worth of abandoned U.S. military weapons and other equipment. China and Russia clearly have an interest in helping maintain a government in a neighboring nation that is both friendly toward them and hostile to Western interests. So it's possible that the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP, as part of its plans for expansion and its stated goal of eventual world domination, told Biden's handlers, who then told Biden, to rapidly pull out of Afghanistan without much of any thought of the consequences to the U.S. and the West. I'm very concerned, of course, about the fate of U.S. and other foreign nationals still trapped inside Afghanistan, as I said, but I'm also equally worried about what fate awaits those Afghans who worked with and supported our presence there. Let's listen to some audio from an interview on, of all places, the largely pro-Biden, anti-American, pro-communist MSNBC network with Afghan veteran Matt Zeller. Please play soundbite one.
Matt Zeller, former first lieutenant during the war in Afghanistan, former combat advisor with Afghan security forces, co-founder of No One Left Behind, a veterans organization that offers services to former Afghan and Iraqi interpreters who resettle here in the United States. Mr. Zeller, it's almost ironic now to state the name of the organization you founded, given what we're watching go on, though I'm curious to hear your reaction of this consequential speech by the American president. Didn't run from it. He owned it. He owned his decision. He owned the fact that, as he put it, the buck stops with him.
I hope he gets to own their deaths, too. I feel like I watched a different speech than the rest of you guys. I was appalled. There was such a profound, bold-faced lie in that speech. The idea that we planned for every contingency. I have been personally trying to tell this administration since it took office. I've been trying to tell our government for years that this was coming. We sent them plan after plan on how to evacuate these people. Nobody listened to us. They didn't plan for the evacuation of our Afghan wartime allies. They're trying to conduct it now at the 11th hour. The thing that they were most concerned about was the optics of a chaotic evacuation. Well, they got exactly what they were most concerned of by failing to do what was right when we could have done it. We had all the people and equipment in place to be able to save these people months ago, and we did nothing. I'm appalled that he thinks we only need to take 2,000 people. There's 86,000 people who are currently left behind in Afghanistan alone. We've identified all of them for the government. I have no idea why he claims that people don't want to leave Afghanistan. I have a list of 14,000 names right now of people who want to get out of Afghanistan. And the idea that the Afghan military should be blamed for this, do you know how many casualties the Afghan military took in an average year? More than the United States did in 20. When you're not getting paid on a regular basis, when you're not getting fuel, when no one is supplying you with ammunition, and yet you're still showing up to the fight, how dare us for having to blame these people for not having the audacity to be able to survive a Taliban onslaught? No, no, no. What we need to be doing right now, and what I am appalled that the president didn't say, was we need to be talking about how we're going to get every single one of these people out. Because let's be abundantly clear. People like me looked these people in the eye and made them a promise. We promised them that in their time of need, we would take care of them. How do you ever expect anyone to ever trust us again if we don't do that now while we can? And I'm sick and tired of trying to defer to the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan on what we're going to do. We're the United States of America. They're terrified of us. I have Afghans on the ground right now who are telling me they're going door to door in Kabul and they're making lists of people who used to work with us. They're telling them with smiles on their face, evil smiles, that they're going to be back from them once we leave. So we either take them now or these people are going to die. I've been trying to tell anyone who will listen. This is a never again moment in the making. This is an administration that seems to be a profound champion and defender of human rights. Well, sometimes human rights have to be defended at the barrel end of a gun. The Taliban are a modern version of the Nazis. And if this was Dresden, do you think British, or sorry, not Dresden, if this was Dunkirk, do you think British, yachting pilots, the British captains that were sailing their boats heroically into Dunkirk, do you think they were asking on the beaches if the people they were picking up were Brits or French? Or do you think they were just trying to get people away from the Nazis? Every Afghan we leave behind is going to be left behind to a horrible existence. And if we don't take them now while we can, that is as much on us as it is on the Taliban, who will hang or behead them.
RedVoiceMedia.com. Red Voice, that's red as in Republican or conservative electioneering, not the red as in communist red. Anyway, redvoicemedia.com highlighted a recent interview on Newsmax TV's Greg Kelly show with former Trump National Security Advisor, retired General Michael Flynn, on the real winner of the U.S.-Afghan pullout. Flynn said, quote, "The principal winner in Afghanistan is not ISIS. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's China. It's absolutely China. The Chinese have a wide open door to strengthen and thicken what is called their Belt Road Initiative. And anybody that wants to dig into that, go dig into it, because the Chinese Belt Road Initiative, which has been going on for about 5 to 10 years, the Afghan gates, the doors just went wide open. And that's why the Taliban are not attacking the Chinese embassy. That's why the Chinese embassy didn't shut down. That's why the Russian embassy didn't shut down." Close quote. Red Voice added that China's Belt and Road Initiative seeks to establish a trade route for them in Europe, Africa, etc., that can't be targeted by U.S. sanctions, giving China leverage over smaller, poorer countries as a form of economic imperialism that includes 71 countries as of now, using fear instead of friendship with these countries and trapping them in debt. There's also worry that it will be used to transport soldiers along this route, as well as export communism. Even more disastrous for the U.S. and the West would be a communist Chinese takeover of strategically vital Taiwan. As you may know, China has vowed to take control by military force, if necessary, of Taiwan in the next few years and is currently mounting a military buildup for just that purpose. In a remarkably bellicose response to Japan's recent statement that it will defend Taiwan against communist Chinese aggression, a communist Chinese propaganda outlet recently declared that if Japan deployed a single soldier or ship in the defense against communist forces invading Taiwan, Japan would suffer catastrophic military consequences, including the use of nuclear weapons. And in an effort to sow distrust between Taiwan and the U.S., Communist China recently warned the people of Taiwan that they cannot trust the U.S. to support them against mainland China, citing the chaotic and cowardly sudden U.S. pullout of Afghanistan. In an August 16 article on the website stillnessinthestorm.com by Ian Chong, the author quotes from an article in the Chinese Communist mouthpiece newspaper Global Times. The newspaper states, quote, "How Washington abandoned the Kabul regime particularly shocked some in Asia, including the island of Taiwan. Taiwan is the region that relies on the protection of the U.S. the most in Asia, and the island's Democratic Progressive Party, DPP, authorities have made Taiwan go further and further down this abnormal path. The situation in Afghanistan suddenly saw a radical change after the country was abandoned by the U.S. and Washington just left, despite the worsening situation in Kabul. Is this some kind of omen of Taiwan's future fate?" Close quote. And the author states, directing its message to Taiwan's leaders, the paper speculated that they must, quote, "have been nervous and feel an ominous presentiment. They must have known better in secret that the U.S. is not reliable." And continuing to quote the paper, "Once a cross-straits war breaks out while the mainland seizes the island with forces, the U.S. would have to have a much greater determination than it had for Afghanistan, Syria, and Vietnam if it wants to interfere. A military intervention of the U.S. will be a move to change the status quo in the Taiwan Straits, and this will make Washington pay a huge price rather than earn a profit," close quote. Now, I'm digressing from the article here, but yes, here is a warning to all the foolish oligarchs and their corporations out there who are so eager to support communist China. Your fabulous profits won't protect you when you surrender yourself to CCP rule. Anyway, getting back to the article from the Chinese communist mouthpiece Global Times. Continuing, quote, "The DPP authorities need to keep a sober head, and the secessionist forces should reserve the ability to wake up from their dreams. From what happened in Afghanistan, they should perceive that once a war breaks out in the Straits, the island's defense will collapse in hours and the U.S. military won't come to help. As a result, the DPP authorities will quickly surrender, while some high-level officials may flee by plane," close quote. The newspaper concluded its message with the suggestion that Taiwan cut its ties with the United States. So you see, Biden's action in Afghanistan are a diplomatic and propaganda coup for the People's Republic of China. It's very hard for me and many others not to see Biden as a real puppet of the CCP. Speaking of coups, after our last program 2 weeks ago, election integrity supporters led by MyPillow.com CEO and election fraud warrior Mike Lindell put out a cyber symposium live streamed on Lindell's frankspeech.com website, One American News Network, and elsewhere, in which they presented more evidence to support their contention that the 2020 presidential election was stolen by communist China and other foreign and domestic actors to oust President Donald Trump and hand the election to the CCP's longtime ally, Joe Biden. President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, has repeatedly declared that evidence he has shows that Joe Biden and his family members have received at least $30 to $40 million in direct payments from the CCP or its agents and entities, and more than $1 billion in investments. Actually, it may come to billions. I think one of the people you're going to hear in a moment states billions. And although this begs for an official U.S. government investigation, as Giuliani has said, to date, virtually nothing has been done about this because our once greatly respected FBI has become, in Giuliani's words, a secret police agency for the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party today, as commentator David Horowitz has observed, is essentially a communist party, and so obviously aligned more ideologically with the American and Chinese communist parties. One of the presentations made on the first day of Mike Lindell's three-day cyber symposium was a powerful video titled Your Wake-Up Call, which was narrated by retired U.S. Army Colonel and Cybersecurity Authority Phil Waldron. We're going to play the audio from that video in a moment, but I strongly suggest that you go to Mike Lindell's website, frankspeech.com, that's FrankSpeech.com, and from the homepage, scroll down to the text link for Your Wake-Up Call, which you can click on and view the video along with listening to the audio. Anyone is encouraged to copy and share the video as widely as possible. Please play soundbite 2.
After the 2018 midterm elections, an investigation was launched to delve into irregularities in the U.S. election results. Detailed logs documented entries into the tabulation system for the election itself, and the team saw many anomalies in areas of extreme concern. Then in November 2020, multiple groups of concerned Americans came together because they all observed something incredible in the 2020 general elections. The groups united to launch a full-scale investigation led by former members of the U.S. intelligence community, the Department of Defense, NASA, the U.S. National Laboratories, private investigations and cybersecurity companies, and legal firms from around the country. The discoveries gained through intense forensic research left everyone involved deeply concerned about the future of our nation and our world. While the U.S. media will undoubtedly discredit this information as far-right conspiracy theory, the fact is the people involved in this investigation represent all colors, all creeds, and all political parties. To ignore this message is to surrender to a government takeover that will gravely affect the lives of every man, woman, and child of every nation. If there ever was an authentic, nonpartisan issue, this is it. In 1970, Henry Kissinger said, "Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world." This concept is critical to understanding the thinking of those who seek to cripple and control America. To achieve their goal, they've got to disrupt families, divide races, destroy small businesses, dismantle the middle class, and distort the American dream of owning land, a home, and everything necessary for the pursuit of happiness and sovereignty. In collusion with our foreign adversaries, these treasonous few are working hard to tear down the last standing wall between them and their agenda of global domination. That wall is you, the American people. By focusing on specific election system vulnerabilities, our investigation confirmed that the entire U.S. election system is under the total control of private equity firms and foreign money. UBS Securities LLC New York and UBS Securities Company Limited Beijing injected hundreds of millions of dollars into Staple Street Capital, the current owner of Dominion Voting. UBS currently holds the intellectual property of Dominion as their equity collateral. Up until December 2020, UBS Security LLC New York listed three senior Communist Chinese Party members as being on the boards of both UBS Securities LLC New York and UBS Securities Limited Beijing. The companies owned 75% by the Chinese government. Seidel, the parent company of Clarity Elections, located in Madrid, Spain, a data management and early election night reporting company, went bankrupt in May of 2020 and was subsequently purchased in a closed private equity deal by an Irish company called Paragon. The election sites for numerous counties in the U.S. go to a Clarity Elections web address. The counties don't own or control their voting data, and the positions of president, secretary, treasurer, and CEO are all occupied by one man, Jonathan Brill. Brill also happens to be a part of Seidel's senior management team and has run campaigns for Democratic Party candidates. Our investigation also revealed that contrary to the current political narrative, the election systems and their equipment were connected to the internet, making them infinitely hackable.
Voting machines themselves are not connected to the internet.
No voting machines are connected to the internet.
The devices are not connected to the internet.
They do not connect to the internet.
Those things are not connected to the internet.
The Department of Homeland Security says the 2020 election was the most secure in American history.
The 2020 election was the most secure in U.S. history.
That's what they say now, but just a short while ago, the political narrative was very different.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
We brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines.
Workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
Remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
Unfortunately, Dominion has recently been thrust into the national spotlight as part of a dangerous and reckless disinformation campaign aimed at sowing doubt and confusion over the 2020 presidential election. First, there were no switched or deleted votes involving Dominion machines. Dominion is not and has never been a friend for communists. The company also does not have any ties to China whatsoever, including no ties, including investment or source code transfer. Let me be clear. Voting systems are, by design, meant to be used as closed systems that are not networked, meaning they are not connected to the internet.
Sounds like some of these machines are showing the tabulators can and are connected to the internet.
Throughout, you're going to, particularly where a vote is cast on election day, those machines tend to and should not be connected to the internet, certainly as a best practice.
But some have the capability, don't they?
Some may have modems that are typically disabled, but in certain states, I believe in Wisconsin, some are temporarily activated to transmit some counts.
But those tabulators are connected on election day because that's how they transmit the data to the counties and also into the unofficial.
In some cases, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Through forensic analysis of election management system computers in Antrim County, Michigan, affidavits from numerous election officials in Georgia, as well as the operator's manual for Dominion's Democracy Suite 5.5, our teams have gathered indisputable evidence that the entire system can indeed be connected, hacked, and manipulated. And in fact, it was. Here's what triggered this investigation back in 2018.
This is the Allied Security Operations Group primary finding in the 2018 governor's race, where a direct flip of 560 votes was made from Matt Bevin to Andy Beshear.
So that was exactly 560 votes was deducted from Matt Bevin. 560 votes were added to Andy Beshear. This race was decided by a little over 5,000 votes. So this one switch represented about 25% of the margin of the vote.
Andy Beshear is declaring victory because he is the leading candidate over a Republican incumbent governor in a state Matt Bevin won by 10 points 4 years ago and a state Donald Trump won by a ton.
Here's an example of election anomalies that took place in 2020.
So now we would take the ballots and we would scan them. It's going to feed these ballots through the scanner. So what we're going to do is we're going to take and we're going to overvote.
What do you mean by overvote?
Overvote is when if there is multiple people in a section where it says only vote for one.
So you're scanning the same ballots twice that's already been scanned once.
I've already scanned them once.
Yeah, so you're scanning the same
ballots. Same ballots twice. You just accepted every one of them. Every one of them went through the system. There it is, the fifth batch.
Okay.
It's pending adjudication. I think I want to vote for Biden. Let's let Biden win this one. And complete.
So you made a vote for someone where someone did not vote.
I did, didn't I?
And you're the election supervisor?
I'm the election supervisor. I am the person that sits and does the adjudication.
All right, board. I want y'all to step outside with me.
Initiated by a court order, the Michigan investigation team obtained forensic access to a DS-200 tabulator, the machine that counts the votes. A Telit 4G wireless chip manufactured in Taiwan was discovered embedded into the motherboard. The voting machine tapes clearly indicate modem engagement and transmission of election data. Some of the anomalies that we noticed in the 2020 general elections, that five key states all stopped counting at a certain time in these key battleground states. These were all where the software, Dominion machines, ESNS machines were used, the Smartmatic, the GEMS software. So when the vote stopped counting, and this has been noted in other countries as well, President Trump was significantly ahead. When reporting and counting resumed, there was a massive spike occurred that favored Joe Biden. The next major observation the teams made was that there were significant financial transactions from private and nonprofit organizations that had a severe impact on the 2020 general election. As revealed in a Time magazine article in February of 2021, individuals and organizations have been plotting to fortify the election since at least 2015.
This is the inside story of the conspiracy to save the 2020 election, but it's massively important for the country to understand that it didn't happen accidentally. Democracy is not self-executing. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. That's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream, a well-funded cabal of powerful people, ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election. They were fortifying it.
This network influence diagram really shows the interrelationship of money, people, and influence and control between key players and key organizations. Now, there were over 200 nonprofits that we found in this network that are all connected. What's even more troubling is that all of those 200 organizations have received substantial funding from a single source.
Of all the financial titans and philanthropists of the 20th century, none are more complex or mysterious than George Soros.
You're a Hungarian Jew who escaped the Holocaust by posing as a Christian.
Right.
And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. And I would say that that's when my character was made.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours.
Christian. Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all.
Like Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, and the Rockefellers, he amassed billions through ruthless business decisions, only to turn around and give away most of his fortune to advance his own personal philosophy.
I am basically there to make money. I cannot and do not look at the social consequences of what I do.
Do you believe in God?
No.
This is not the first time that Mr. Soros has been implicated in a plot to destroy a nation. Doing to America. The Philippines, Russia, Turkey, Poland, Pakistan, as well as Soros' own homeland of Hungary, have learned the hard way the true intentions of this ruthless multi-billionaire.
És egy percig sincsen kétségem afelől, hogy Soros György és a
vele együttműködők mindent megtesznek, minden alkalmat megragadnak, hogy azokat a kormányokat, amelyek.
The growing emergency unfolding at the southern border.
Thousands of Central American migrants are vowing to continue their march to the U.S. border.
Has surged in recent weeks, alarming officials who are strapped for resources.
And overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this. I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
he paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay, we're going to move on.
It was in 2006 when Soros said the main obstacle to a stable and just world is the United States. Translated into truth, that sentence would read, the main obstacle to destabilizing the world is the United States. While Soros is often accused of unfounded conspiracies, that should not detour from the heinous crimes against humanity that he's actually guilty of. Many of those crimes he keeps hidden in plain sight. According to a white paper called U.S. Programs 2015 to 2018 Strategy, Soros' Open Societies Foundation began funding radical operations in Arizona and Georgia in 2015 with the goal of subverting the 2020 presidential elections. Through massive campaign contributions and nonprofit funding, Soros owns and controls countless public officials, university professors, teachers' unions, mayors, district attorneys, judges, congressmen, senators, secretaries of state, sheriffs, governors, and electronic voting machine companies around the world. In 2010, George Soros shocked even his most devout loyalists when he declared that China has a better functioning government than the United States. While the Chinese people should be considered friends and allies, the Chinese Communist Party is anything but. The CCP has been plotting to take over the United States for the better part of this last century, and their unconventional warfare principles are barely recognizable to the U.S. population.
America's top intelligence official even went so far as to say, and I quote, "If I could communicate one thing to the American people from this unique vantage point, it is that the People's Republic of China poses the greatest threat to democracy and freedom worldwide since World War II.
While we were sleeping, their poisonous seeds planted long ago have taken root and are now in full bloom within U.S. soil. The Chinese government and their operatives are buying up the United States at an alarming rate. Through cover organizations and individuals, they're purchasing American farms and businesses in mass volume. In addition, the CCP has co-opted the U.S. entertainment industry. Chinese firms own several major U.S. entertainment companies and control more than 8,000 American theater screens. Hollywood movie scripts are often reviewed and censored if they pose any threat to the image of the Chinese Communist Party. And many professional sports teams and players are controlled in great part by the CCP.
The pandemic sped up a trend that was already years in the making, and it's brought about another change. The Chinese government's growing influence over the content of these films. That has people worried, including members of Congress, as they point to a growing list of examples of Hollywood seemingly bending to China's will.
Now, here's a case in point. If you're a Hollywood actor, whatever you do, don't call Taiwan a country. Here's WWE star John Cena apologizing for doing just that.
我很抱歉对我的错误，对不起，对不起，我很抱歉，你必须了解，我很爱，很尊重中国跟中国人。
And that's the fear now, because you're now making movies for 16-year-olds and China. And that's it.
LeBron James taking on Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, whose tweet supporting protests in Hong Kong set off a firestorm between the country and the league.
China announcing this morning they're pulling NBA games from their airwaves.
I don't want to get into a feud with Daryl, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. Just be careful what we tweet and we say.
why would the NBA take $500 million plus from a country that is engaging in ethnic cleansing?
They are a customer of ours, and guess what, Megan? I'm okay with doing business with China.
One of the stark realities of this past year is the clear and present threat that China represents to the United States of America and to the daily lives of Americans. And it's not just about exporting a pandemic. China has also potentially compromised Joe Biden's family.
Joe Biden, while he was vice president, took billions of dollars in bribes from the Chinese government in the form of payments to his son Hunter's businesses. In exchange, Biden was soft on Chinese military and economic aggression.
This is the reason why I've held the view for so many years and continue to hold the view that a rising China is a positive development.
They're not bad folks, folks, but guess what? They're not a competition for us.
Yeah, I think that the biggest competitor is China.
Joe Biden had a bit to say today, suggesting that China wants to own America by 2035.
They literally have a stated goal of toppling America as the world superpower. How on earth could Joe Biden, with a straight face, negotiate with a government who's put billions of dollars into his family's businesses?
And finally, new rule, you're not going to win the battle for the 21st century if you are a silly people. And Americans are a silly people. Half the country is having a never-ending woke competition deciding whether Mr. Potato Head has a dick.
Don't tickle me!
We are a silly people. Do you know who doesn't care that there's a stereotype of a Chinese man in a Dr. Seuss book? China. You think China's doing that, letting political correctness get in the way of nurturing their best and brightest? You think Chinese colleges are offering courses in the philosophy of Star Trek, the sociology of Seinfeld, and surviving the coming zombie apocalypse? Those are real, and so is China, and they are eating our lunch.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. Last night, I was on the phone for two straight hours with Xi Jinping, and we don't get moving, they're gonna eat our lunch. When he called to congratulate him, we had a two-hour discussion. He's deadly earnest about becoming the most significant consequential nation in the world.
China is currently making big moves to gain control of U.S. port facility operations and already controls the Panama Canal. They're building 5G networks throughout Europe and the West, which can be used to feed personal information and sensitive data directly to the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese government uses commercial software and apps to spy on U.S. citizens and extract their private information.
The CCP doesn't ask them for information. They don't need to. They have access to the information.
There seems to be a great disconnect. I mean, the American people, at least the kids who are on TikTok, have no concern about what we're talking about here.
Their ignorance of the threat does nothing to diminish it.
It's estimated that at least 80% of American adults have had their private information harvested by China. Big Pharma has exported the vast majority of their production to China. Currently, 97% of antibiotics in the U.S. come from China. 30% of personal protective equipment, such as face masks, come from China. 80% of U.S. imports of rare earth minerals come from China, which are vital for smartphones, electric cars, defense, and other technologies. In 2017, the U.S. produced zero rare earth minerals. China, on the other hand, accounted for more than 80% of the world's supply. In lockstep with the Mexican drug cartels, 97% of fentanyl, one of the most addictive and deadly drugs, is smuggled into the U.S. from China. People's Liberation Army hackers are executing unconstrained penetration, surveillance, theft, and offensive cyber attacks on U.S. businesses, critical infrastructure, intelligence apparatus, and yes, even the U.S. election system. To ignore this message is to surrender to a government takeover that will gravely affect the lives of every man, woman, and child of every class, culture, and nation. Our goal is to reach and revive the heart of humanity while there's still time. This is your wake-up call.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
you heard U.S. pro wrestler and actor John Cena, or Cena, speaking in Chinese. There's English subtitles underneath the video, and profusely apologizing for supposedly offending the CCP and Chinese people. You also heard numerous Democrats, including then U.S. Senator Kamala Harris, former FBI Director James Comey, and Dominion Voting Machines Chief John Polis, declaring that Dominion machines cannot be connected to the internet. You also heard at the end the now infamous declaration by then presidential candidate Joe Biden that the Democrats had put together the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. It appears Biden inadvertently told the truth when he must surely have meant to say voter fraud prevention organization. That's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of our show of value. Watch for a podcast of the show posted on the next few days on the Jim Benson Show page at bbsradio.com. That's the Jim Benson Show on bbsradio.com. Take care and have a great rest of your day and evening.